was an ambitious voyage to find the Northwest Passage, but it would end in tragedy and start a mystery that has endured for well over a century and a half. In 1845, explorer Sir John Franklin set out with two ships to find a path to the Orient. The ships became stuck in ice, and all aboard perished after abandoning the ships and trying to walk to safety. Despite numerous efforts, no one has been able to locate the wreckage of the two ships. But the search is back on for the remains of Franklin's expedition, and the CBC has exclusive access to the hunt. Lots of impressive technology is going to be used, but finding the ships may rely just as much on old Inuit knowledge. So to tell us more about that, author and historian David Woodman joins us now live from Vancouver. David, you've been searching for Franklin's last steps and his ships since you were a teenager, right? What got you hooked on this?
I didn't have a date on a Friday night at U of T, and I picked up a book, which started me off. At the time, I was a diver, and I wanted to find a virgin wreck, and a wreck in the Arctic seemed to be a good short-term project.
Short-term?
I thought it would take about 3 years.
Yeah, well, it's clearly taken much longer. What exactly happened? What do we know at this point about what happened to Franklin and his crew?
Well, the only documentary evidence we have is a sort of a afterthought scribble note that they left when they abandoned the ships in 1848, and a few scattered bones and tent sites, campsites along their escape route, which unfortunately none of them survived. But most of the detail as to what happened comes from the Inuit oral history. Of course, it was an amazingly significant event in their history. It would be similar to aliens landing on the White House lawn for us. And they were very assiduous in telling the details to later investigators, which have led us now to narrow down a search area for the ships.
And you have put a lot of trust in what the Inuit have said before, but not everyone involved in an investigation or a search has. So that is new for this search, isn't it?
Well, it took a while to get over the prejudice against oral history and Inuit history in particular. Of course, the Victorians didn't want to hear the details of disciplined group breaking into parties and cannibalism, etc. And so a lot of these stories were just discounted. Also, they're fairly scattered in various journals of explorers, and they're not exactly straightforward. They're almost always melded with other stories. There are supernatural elements involved. And it's they're all, as well, third-hand stories. So it takes a while to try and tease out the details and come to the conclusions as to where the ships might be.
So what do you think, what stands out for you out of all of this recollection by the Inuits?
Well, we only have one Inuit story of an eyewitness, a man who stood on the wreck. And he gives us a starting point, which gives us a fairly large but still workable area to search in. But the details in the stories of the wreck in Edujulik, the southernmost wreck, are things that the Inuit wouldn't have made up. They found the ships with all of the boats in place. The cabins were locked. There was a plank down to the ice. Someone had recently swept the deck. The sweepings were still on the ice. It seems that things like that would be very hard for them not to be telling truthfully.
Now, I know you've been on, what, at least 10 search expeditions in the north?
I've been involved with 10. I've been to the North 9 times.
Okay. In those 9 times, what is the North like to search? It's barren, isn't it?
It's quite desolate. You know, all the pictures that we are getting now from Curiosity at Mars, there's a reason why they use the Arctic to try that, try out machinery. But it's also very beautiful. It's an amazing place to go to. And every time you you get back and the wounds on your feet heal and you start to, you know, survive, you think back and lose all of that, and you want to go back right away.
I just wonder what it's like when you walk onto this flat, barren, cold land and you try to recollect what someone said 150 years ago.
Well, in some ways there's an advantage because very little has changed as far as geography. When they talk of a black rock, you can walk right up to the same black rock. When they talk of the various landmarks, though there are very few, there's no doubt as to what they're talking about, as opposed to something that was overgrown in the jungle or rebuilt down here. So that's one of the other advantages of finding a shipwreck up there, is that we'll know which one it is when we find it. There are only about 6 that sank up there that we are looking for, so it's not like the Florida Keys where they lie one on top of each other.
That's a good point. How important would it be for this to be found?
Well, depending on who's writing the list, it's always in the top 10 of the most significant undiscovered shipwrecks historical shipwrecks in the world, quite often in the top five to find one of Franklin's ships. So I think it would be quite significant. A lot of people seem to be interested in it. The discovery of the Investigator by Parks Canada generated a lot of interest, and this would be another order of magnitude greater than that.
It's pretty exciting. David, you ever wonder what would have happened if you actually had a date that Friday night?
I would have found something else, I'm sure. But I tend to pick up hobbies and then stick with them. And this is a long-running hobby, so who knows what the hobby would have been.
Yeah, not just yours, for sure. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
That's author and historian David Woodman joining us from Vancouver.